Yes, today is Celebration Sunday in the life of River Road Church. Indeed, we have so much to celebrate and for which to be grateful. We celebrate and give thanks this day for all who lovingly and faithfully teach in our education programs. We also celebrate with our first, third, sixth, and ninth graders and their families as we gave them Bibles and devotional books and as they were promoted to new Sunday school classes today. And for those of you who are staying for the entire service for the first time, welcome. It's a big day for you. And even if you don't know everything that's going on, and even if your mind wanders during the sermon, you're not alone. It happens to all of us. But most of all, I want you to know that we're glad you're here, that you belong here. And I hope everyone will come back this afternoon at 5 p.m. for our annual church picnic and potluck, kicking off the new church year and celebrating a great summer of mission and ministry. Didn't sign up? That's okay. Don't have time to make a dish? Just grab a jar of pickles and come on. We want you there. You know, life is full of choices, isn't it? Paper or plastic? Highway or back roads? Baptist or Presbyterian? Big gulp or Slurpee? Beach or mountains? Coffee or tea? French fries or fresh fruit? Go to bed or watch one more episode? Sometimes the choices we make in life are like this, either or, A or B, this or that. But sometimes the choices we make in life are far less black and white. Should we keep talking? Should we keep trying? Or is the marriage over? Should we continue to push more chemotherapy, or is it time to say, enough? Indeed, sometimes the decisions we must make in life are not that easy. Sometimes the choices are not this or that. Sometimes those choices just aren't crystal clear to us. In this passage from Deuteronomy, Moses lays out for the Israelites some very important choices. At first glance, these choices seem rather plain, rather clear. Will you choose life or will you choose death? Let's take a step back. The book of Deuteronomy is written as a series of sermons preached by Moses to the Israelites toward the end of their time in the wilderness. He's led the people out of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness. Today's text comes at the end of the last sermon. And if you've been reading along, it seems like this last sermon has been going on for about 26 chapters. Remember that next time you think I get a little long-winded. Today's text, as I say, is at the end of this last sermon, and so it's Moses' swan song, we might call it. His last will and testament, his farewell discourse. He will not be going with them into the promised land, So these are the words he wants them to carry. These are the words he wants them to carry forward. I guess you could say this sermon is a sort of summation of everything he has told them to this point. Here's what he preaches. Listen to what I've said to you today. I've laid it out for you. Life and death, good and evil. Love God, walk in God's ways, keep the commandments so that you will truly live passionately, joyfully, blessed by God. But I must warn you, if you have a change of heart, if you refuse to listen and serve other gods, you will die. It is your choice, life or death, blessings or curses. In this sermon, Moses says, it's time to choose. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Which path will you go down? Because if you choose life, you're committing to walking in the ways of God and keeping God's commandments. But if you do not choose life, if you commit to following other gods and neglect the covenant of grace, then that means sure death for you. These choices Moses gives to the people, these choices seem black and white, don't they? You can choose life, or you can choose death. Not a whole lot of gray area there, is it? Which is rather interesting, I think. See, much of my pastoral ministry consists of helping people move beyond the easy pat answers of our faith toward the mystery, the inexplicable, the wonder of God and God's love. And I myself, I have found a greater sense of meaning and love and a deeper spirituality not in the easy answers of faith, good or bad, right or wrong, heaven or hell, this or that. I've come to understand that the life of faith is not trying to decide if God's will is behind door number one or door number two. I don't believe faithfulness can always be reduced to choice A or B. No, life with God, I have found, is so much richer when we refuse to reduce God down only to that which we can understand. And instead, when we allow the mystery of God to confound us, maybe even to take our breath away. But in this passage, if I'm honest, the choices seem rather apparent. Choose life, love, and covenant with God, and you will prosper. Choose death, hate, fear, and reject the covenant, and there will be ruin. It's an easy choice, right? Not so fast. If it were such an easy choice, we wouldn't have war, starvation, abuse, hatred, like we see every day and like we have seen since the dawn of time. But here God holds out for us the promise and command of choosing life every day in all that we do, in all that we say. So what does it mean to choose life? Well, Moses tells us that above all it means to choose love. That is the greatest commandment after all. And what does it mean to choose death? think it means giving into fear. So often in Scripture, we see that love stands over and against fear. Love is fear's antidote, I believe. What does 1 John tell us? Perfect love casts out all fear. And any of the children and youth who went to Passport Camp this summer knows that the camp theme for this summer got it right. Fear less. And what? Love more. I think that's what Moses is getting at here. But how do we do it? How do we daily choose life and love over death and fear? There are a myriad of ways, I suppose. You choose life when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, you choose life when you take the afternoon off to play with a child, when you read a book instead of simply watching the movie. You choose life and love when you forgive and forgive and forgive as freely as God has forgiven you. When you aren't afraid to cry, because our tears show how much we care. You choose life when you love the most obnoxious person on your Facebook feed, because you don't really know the pain they're carrying. You choose life and love when you pray for your pastor and your ministry staff. You choose love when you apologize, even if it wasn't your fault, but if it just might save the relationship. You choose love when you feed the poor, not as an object of ministry, but as members of community. You choose life when you love your neighbors, even if they are different, especially if they are different. Because see, church, ours is a politically charged, dangerous, difficult, and sometimes terrifying world. And that's what makes choosing life and love all the more essential. Choosing life and love over fear and death means coming together as God's people to worship with all of our hearts and all that we are. It means coming together as a people who live with audacious hope and practice a radical welcome. It means loving Christ's church and always remembering that God loves you. It means opening our hearts to the Spirit of God and realizing that what we do here, it's holy work. Though the choices may seem clear, life and love, fear and death, doesn't mean the choices are always easy. And it doesn't mean once we've chosen, then we're done. No, choosing life and love, it's a choice we make day after day after day, over and over and over again. Life and love, fear and death. How will we choose? Amen.